This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. It's a great nation where sometimes people think that part of what makes this nation great, you just can't get enough of it. Free speech, for instance. People, I think, agree that the United States has been built upon the idea of freedom of expression. You can say what you want, and then if somebody disagrees with you, they can answer you. Really, there should be no limits, at least according to free speech absolutists, about what you say. There is a very controversial, very thought-provoking new book that is just out by Michael Knowles, who has become something of a media sensation. He is the celebrated, as it says right in his author's biography, host of the Daily Wire's The Michael Knowles Show, a very clever title. And he also is the host of Prager University's The Book Club and the author of a number one national bestseller. And that was a bestseller that knocked people out with its tremendous success and its extraordinary deployment of language. The book was called Vote, Reasons to Vote for Democrats, A Comprehensive Guide. Michael, what was the most persuasive chapter of that book?
You know, it's hard to pick just one, and I feel to really understand the argument, one must read the book cover to cover. And by the end of the bibliography, you will finally encounter words. But for the first 10 chapters, you will not find a single one.
You know, it has to be one of the cleverest ideas for ever getting a bestseller. By the way, did you expect the kind of success for that book that you received?
I most certainly did not. I really only put it out there as a mark to irritate my Democrat friends and relatives, and I certainly succeeded at that, though I can't claim originality, because I learned later on there have been other blank books in American history. There was Everything Men Know About Women. There is The Wit and Wisdom of the German People. And actually, I learned the first blank book was by James Garfield and Chester Arthur, the Republican candidates for president in 1880, who published a book about the political achievements of their Democrat opponent. So I guess Republicans have been doing this kind of thing for a long time.
Of Winfield Scott Hancock, Hero of Gettysburg, huh?
So that's right.
The new book is called Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. And you go there where I think other people who've talked about political correctness and where we stand right now, you go there to a place that I think previous writers have not dared to go, which is to suggest that the answer to the left's desire to control speech, to impose political correctness, is not free speech. Why not?
Well, fools rush in where angels fear to tread, though I hope that I have backed up my arguments with some citations. Fortunately, I was able to pad my book with about 100 pages of citations, so no one can accuse me of making these sorts of things up. I suppose the point, I think your summation is quite fair, although it relies on a problem that I've noticed, which is in recent years, we have conflated, in just the way that we speak colloquially, we've conflated liberty and licentiousness. We have come to, and I really include all of us on the right, we have come to believe that liberty means the ability to do whatever you want whenever you want to do it, as opposed to the more traditional foundation of liberty, which is the right to do what we ought to do, as opposed to licentiousness, which would be, you know, merely following our base desires and our appetites. The way I think I can bring that distinction down to earth is the heroin addict might pursue his whatever desires he likes as long as he's got a couple bucks in his pocket, but he's not really free. He's a slave to his base passions, and the freer man would be the sort of person who trains in liberty, you know, in liberal education, and cultivates virtue and cultivates those habits and then ultimately tamps down those base passions. And so the point I want to make, which is I apparently quite controversial, is that in the United States and broadly throughout the West, we have always had standards, because all societies must have standards. All societies have taboos. Certain things are off limits. You know, historically in the United States, this would include fraud, threats, sedition, obscenity. Even as recently as a dozen years ago, we jailed a pornographer for obscenity, you know, not for anything out, child pornography, not rape, just purely for putting out obscene content. And this is a recognition that societies have standards. So I think that part of the reason that we've lost so much cultural ground is because we've misunderstood what political correctness or wokeness or cancel culture is. We believe that it's a fight between absolute free speech and absolute censorship, when in fact I think it's just a battle between competing sets of standards. And I think the left understands this, and I think the right used to understand this. And recently I think we've just taken the bait from the cultural revolutionaries, much to our peril.
Yeah, you do make the point right at the beginning of the book. The book, again, it's posted on our website. It is called Speechless, the subtitle Controlling Words, Controlling Mind, Minds. You suggest, Michael Knowles, that basically there are big parts of the culture war that are already over, where we've already lost. Give an example.
Well, I suppose a simple version of this would be on this issue of gender. This is the one that keeps coming up for so many people. Now we are not even permitted to claim that a man is not a woman. And this is because of the mainstreaming of gender dysphoria and this cultural idea that, you know, we can't even agree in this society on whether Bruce Jenner is Bruce or Caitlin or he or she. And I think that regardless of the gender question, you know, there are a lot of, I think, philosophical errors that have led to that. Even the question of what is a human being? Does our body have something to do with who we are? But this has been mainstream. Now you can be deplatformed. You could be kicked off of YouTube. You can be kicked out of the classroom, out of your job. In this country, you cannot yet face criminal penalties for the hate speech of calling a man. But in other countries in the West, you can, and I suspect that might come here as well. This is now the sort of central feature of our regime, this total liberation. And the total liberation is not merely from the shackles of some legally imposed oppression, say Jim Crow or slavery or something like that. But now we've embraced a kind of radical skepticism that would have people liberate themselves from human nature itself. And so the reason I describe the culture war is essentially lost is because even the conservatives are not willing to defend a substantive vision of politics. So, you know, with conservatives who won't even stand up to conserve the ladies' room, then what sort of battle do we really have?
Today there was a Supreme Court decision announced about a young person, we'll use that phrase, who was undergoing gender transition and wanted to use the men's room. The person was going from being a cis female to being a trans male. And the way that it was covered, and it was on all news, including supposedly conservative news outlets, what a victory for this intrepid young man. And that he can now go into the men's room regularly at his school. I guess he's already graduated from school, but that future people will be able to. That it's affirming a lower court decision that had already been made. And the fact that we have a very conservative Supreme Court now, is that kind of what you have in mind?
Yes, we have multiple so-called originalists on the court who could not even stand up against the preposterous claim that the Constitution guarantees a man's right to enter the women's room. So I think if that's originalism, I guess I'm not an originalist. I always thought I was, but if that's what it means, then I suppose that's that.
Okay, Michael, can you stay with us for a moment more? Because what I want to talk to you is about what the remedy is. In other words, there's so many people who feel as you do in your book Speechless that things have just gotten to an absurd pass on some of these cultural issues. So what do you do to fight back or to bring things back to a more normal, how do you say, wholesome basis for conversation. The book is called Speechless. We will be right back with Michael Knowles.
The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook of me reading every single word of, I think, one of the most important books that's out there right now. And it comes to you together with an MP3 player, so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audio book and hardcover book bundle. This can be an important tool in combating some of the toxic lies about America. God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era at MichaelMedved.com or MedvedHistoryStore.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of My Pillow, here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
On the Michael Medved Show, glad to be back with my friend Michael Knowles, who is the author of Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds. I should say the author is Michael Knowles. He, him, his. Right? Don't we need to say that now?
Oh, Well, I think those are my pronouns. I tried to identify as Sir and Your Highness when I was recently asked by a liberal friend, but they would not accommodate my self-identity.
Okay, see, that practice actually goes right to the very heart of what I wanted to discuss with you, which is that I think most Americans hear that, the overwhelming majority, and it's ridiculous. It's absurd that one should have to clarify what your pronouns are, and then that some people will have their pronouns are he, they, her. It can be a confusing array. I don't think anybody listening to me really believes that this is going to last, that this is going to be the new way that we raise our children, that our grandchildren grow up, is with this whole confusion about pronouns. However, if that is not the way we now view reality, that basically gender is a choice, no more gender reveal parties, gender reveal parties about currently identifies as, but with all of that going on, how's it going to change? And how can people on the right do a better job changing it? Oh, yes, we had, now that's interesting. It sounded like some kind of, there was a I don't think it was a governmental censorship or censorship of any kind, but it was a connection problem with Michael Knowles. And part of what he is talking about is that the whole idea of free speech is value-free, that there should be a value-free opening by which people pursue various ideas or opinions. And one of the points that he makes in his book, Speechless, is that, as he puts it, taking our stand on freedom of speech helps put atheism, decadence, and nonsense on the same plane with faith, virtue, and reality. And certainly there has been in the world of free speech plenty of nonsense, and sometimes even mandated nonsense. Michael, you're back.
I think I was rendered speechless by the powers that be. They did not like the conversation that we were having, Michael.
Right. I guess because the conversation implied that the idea of Caitlyn Jenner, she, her, what is the third one? It's she, her, hers.
Right.
Whatever it is, the idea that that might be temporary. Go ahead.
I should hope that it is temporary, but I fear that it won't be, or this will lead simply to another stage of ideological devolution, because when sometimes some conservatives will say, oh, Michael, who cares about the pronouns? You know, it's just some sort of trivial matter. But I notice the left seems to care about the pronouns. They seem to think that it's quite important, so they're trying to coerce this speech and spending a lot of time and energy in doing that. And I think it's because words really matter. You know, the whole project of political correctness is about redefining reality by redefining all of the words. And in Speechless, I do sort of trace the intellectual movement going back about 100 years to how we got to that level. Now, of course, you can't really redefine reality. But if you have enough political power and enough coercive ability, you can make people uncomfortable for a very long time. It reminds me of what Whitaker Chambers said about communism not being a new ideology, but the great alternative faith of mankind that begins in the garden when the serpent tells Eve, ye shall be as gods. And so I think that's what they're really after. And the fact is, because language is a bounded concept, either he is he or he is her, but he cannot be both he and her, because we do need to agree on some basic things in society, even with one another. then we're going to have to assert a substantive vision, at least over a few matters, that say that this is true and this is false and this is right and this is wrong. And the left has done a great job of reordering that, reframing our entire vision of the country. Reframing, of course, is the word that the 1619 Project uses to try to upend our understanding of our own history. And I just think conservatives have fallen for a trap laid by political correctness, whereby they either accept the new standard put out by the left, or they abandon standards entirely. And, of course, either way, the traditional understanding of who we are is abandoned, and because nature abhors a vacuum, the left rushes in to take its place.
Well, you've been very critical in your book, Speechless, of voices on the right trying to defend traditional standards. What should be done more effectively? What is to be done to actually win some battles on cultural issues?
I think conservatives need to learn this magic word called no. And I think they need to recognize that in order to stand for something, you actually need to exclude certain ideas. You know, this should not be a radical thought, although I suppose these days it will be perceived as one. But, you know, going back to the beginning of the conservative movement after the Second World War, William F. Buckley Jr., as mainstream a conservative as ever there was, launched that movement with a book that engaged in withering criticism of our dearly beloved alma mater, God of Nana Yale. And a lot of people forget that the subtitle of that book is the Superstitions of Academic Freedom. He mocked the idea of academic freedom as we discuss it today as a hoax, as a sort of farce, something that is ahistorical and doesn't really even exist in practice. You know, Yale would never hire a neo-Nazi to teach its sociology classes, nor should it. Yale has a mission, and Yale says that some things are true and others false, some good and others bad, and that's that. And Buckley, I remember, about a dozen years after he wrote his next book, defending Joe McCarthy, of all things, he defended on his Firing Line show the idea of what he called epistemological optimism, one of those classic Buckley phrases. And he said that the society was quite open, but he wished that it weren't completely open. You know, when people's minds are so open, sometimes their brains fall out. And he said that certain things really are settled in societies. That's always true. All societies have standards and taboos. And so we need to recognize that no school, that no teacher has the right to teach some lunacy, but whether it be neo-Nazism or anything else. And parents and trustees have a right, and especially in public schooling, the people have a right to control to some degree what is in the curriculum.
And the original, this goes to the original introduction for National Review with its first edition, and I think it's 1955. A conservative is someone who stands athwart history, yelling stop at a time when no one is inclined to do so or to have much patience with those who so urge it. You'll have patience and a great deal of satisfaction from the new book, Speechless, Controlling Words, Controlling Minds by Michael Knowles. It's posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The death toll in the condo collapse near Miami Beach is rising. 10 people are dead and 151 still missing. Emergency teams have been working around the clock in a desperate search. Former Miami-Dade Fire Chief Dave Downey on the search.
We're still doing a very methodical, very deliberate search. Everything is gridded off, and teams are working various areas of what we refer to as the pile. Due to the heat and humidity, there's six squads of six.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. Security checkpoints at America's airports keep getting busier. The TSA saying more than 2.6 million people were screened at airports on Sunday. Spokesperson Lisa Farbstein saying that's a new record since the coronavirus pandemic began. USA Radio News.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, heads up that coming up, and it's a little bit more than 2 weeks, I am going to be speaking at the Reagan Library. Mike Pence just spoke there, made a certain amount of stir, gave a very well-crafted, very substantive speech. I'm going to be talking about God's hand on America and whether America is the product in terms of our prosperity and power in terms of just a series of happy accidents, or, as the left would have us believe, is it because we are some kind of vicious, corrupt, exploitative, cruel, racist, altogether malevolent power, or is it what our founders believed, which is that we were an instrument for the divine purpose, which is putting a pretty high demand on any country. And that demand has always been here on this last best hope of Earth. A free broadcast live of this show, and then to be followed afterward by a free lecture, but you have to sign up in advance. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for this Reagan Library event. It's a beautiful facility in Simi Valley, California. And if you haven't visited there, you should. This on July 14th, coming up a couple of Wednesdays from now. There's ongoing debate, well, about everything in Washington. And one of the things that I think would make President Reagan very sad is that there's a piece in the New York Times by Timothy Egan. And I think that part of what he is saying is right, which he writes that America is getting meaner. Do you remember President George Herbert Walker Bush, the vice president for 2 terms for President Reagan, when he was running to take over the presidency in 1988, he promised a kinder, gentler nation. Would anyone believe that we are a kinder, gentler nation right now, or we became a kinder, gentler nation over recent years? We haven't. And take a look at the rise in crime, which is so dramatic and so undeniable, and actually just pushed the Democratic Party to nominate for mayor of New York a police lieutenant who was running on the crime issue. He's not the official winner yet, Eric Adams, but it looks extremely likely with his 10% lead, even with the ranked voting they have over Maya Wiley. Andrea Ocasio-Cortez, whose wing of the party seems to have been left behind, actually only won about 20-25% of the vote in the primary for Democrats in New York City. Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez doubles down, actually, on defund the police and downplays the undeniable crime rave in conversation with another New York Democrat and squadster, Representative Jamal Bowman. Listen.
I do believe that we need to reallocate resources away, and that a big, you know, major causes of this. And by the way, I also think it's important context, because we hear on the news and media, they perpetuate this idea of crime wave, crime wave, crime wave, right? And so this idea that a lot of us are panicked, thinking that we are at some unprecedented level that we've never seen before.
Okay, she's right. We have seen it before. It's true. We have seen it before, and it led to a political revolution. It led Joe Biden, who then was a much younger senator in 1994, to help craft a sweeping crime bill that actually got tough on crime and helped to save countless lives. Yes, we've seen it before, but we haven't seen it recently, and that's the entire point. And the effort to blame the rise in criminal activity, and it's a rise in criminal activity virtually everywhere across the country. There are no exceptions. And by the way, one of the things the Democrats bring up is say, look, even cities with Republican mayors, they're having rising crime rates. Well, that's correct. And it's because of the general undermining of confidence in the police, a support for the police, the retirement of literally hundreds, perhaps by now it's thousands of officers from major police departments across the country, and the general collapse of some of the public spaces we have in this country. And they've just announced a new program where they're paying, I believe the equivalent is about $40,000 a year to provide tents for homeless encampments. This is in San Francisco. It's this kind of madness that is creating a sense that Americans are less safe than they were just a couple of years ago. And that seems to be a reality. The Biden advisor, former congressman from Louisiana, Cedric Richmond, blames Republicans for the defunding of police. Listen. Clip 16.
Let's talk about who defunded the police. An emergency relief plan for cities that were cash-strapped and laying off police and firefighters? It was the Republicans who objected to it. And our plan allowed state and local governments to replenish their police departments. And so look, Republicans are very good at staying on talking points of who says defund the police, but the truth is they defunded the police.
Okay, again, given the fact that virtually all, there are very, very few exceptions, big American cities that are controlled by Republicans. The big cities are controlled by Democrats. And they have gone along. You cannot hear any Republicans saying, yeah, we have to defund the police. And then there's Tim Scott, the great senator from South Carolina, and presidential or vice presidential possibility, responding to Cedric Richmond on Fox News. Listen.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've heard all year long. And we've heard some very ridiculous things from the Democrats. But this is not the icing on the tape, on the cake. This is the most ridiculous thing ever said. The facts are simple. Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and New York, all, Baltimore, all have defunded the police. What we've seen is a 40% increase in violent crime in major cities because the Democrats have been defunding the police for the last year plus. What we have done on the other side, of course, is to refund the police. Even the police reform legislation I'm currently working on provides more money for officers because the last thing you can do is ask someone to go into the most dangerous places in our country
right.
without the resources and without covering their liability. If you don't do those two things, you can't ask good people to go into bad places to make them even better.
And that is extraordinarily well said, and of course he is entirely correct. Dateline Chicago, two mass shootings within 2 hours of each other left at least 17 injured, two fatally. The Chicago police said authorities have confirmed both shootings were gang-related. A shooting in the city's Chicago Lawn neighborhood Sunday night left 11 people injured, with one of the victims dying from their injuries, according to police. And the idea that the city of Chicago now says that it can't cope with this crime surge on its own, can't do it, they need federal help. Well, for goodness sake, how does that go along with the attempts by people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, to reallocate funding? By the way, the Democrats have, it's fascinating to watch because they have found that people don't like the phrase defund the police. So what they're saying now instead is we're going to reallocate funds. But it's the same thing. And it all leads to America getting meaner. Tell you why, coming up on the MedVed Show.
Entertain your brain.
Your show is very entertaining.
Every day on the Michael Medved Show.
Was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
It's going to be a little bit provocative.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, I mentioned this idea of America not getting kinder and gentler, but getting meaner. And you can see it everywhere. And the efforts or the attempts that are being made to try to restore civility and a sense of community, it all seems so feeble. And a part of that is the Democrats, or at least the very radical wing of the party, seems to suggest that somehow taking funds away from police officers and hiring more social workers is going to reduce violence and help increase understanding. The Democrat from New York, Jamal Bowman, newly elected, says yes, he supports reallocating the resources we now spend on police officers. This is clip three.
I haven't thought about an amount, but yes, I support the reallocation of resources from NYPD towards more social services.
Okay, as if the social services are going to do it. There's a wonderful column, and it appeared in the New York Times. It's by a local Seattle guy who I know is a friend, Tim Egan. And he's also a fine historian who's written books about various remarkable chapters in U.S. history. He's working on a book right now about the Klan. But he writes, I went to see my doctor the other day for a COVID delayed physical. Instead of talking about what ails me, he wanted to talk about what ails us. A dystopian country. The babble of disinformation. The lack of trust in everybody and everything. And he says, after much steam had been let off, I wanted to say, enough with American vitals. What about my own vitals? Trust in institutions, government, the press, religion, big business? Is it at or near record lows? My own profession, journalism, he writes, has been kicked to the cellar of disdain. About 40% of Americans have little or no confidence in newspapers, according to Gallup's annual survey, up from 24% in 2000. But the press, where free speech and all of its cacophonous chaos reside, has been a punching bag for some time. More shocking is that about 50% distrust our electoral system, according to a Morning Consult survey. Diminished confidence in elections is among the worst of the many awful legacies of recent years. But underlying these cynicisms and suspicions, he writes, is a truly sad development. The United States is becoming a mean country. Take the story of the airline passenger who knocked out the teeth of a flight attendant, part of a frightening rise in unruly flyers. Or consider the man who shot and killed a Georgia supermarket cashier when she asked him to pull up his mask. Lament the absurd sorrow of the Philadelphia Food Festival that was designed to celebrate culinary diversity, then canceled after the decision to disinvite a food truck selling Israeli food sparked controversy. Once upon a time, writes Tim Egan, the crackpots could mostly talk only to themselves on bar stools. Now they have an enormous community in the dark reaches of the web. That explains why up to 15% of all Americans believe the country is under the control of Satan-worshipping pedophiles as they huff the vapors of QAnon. It's also the likely reason a third of Americans continue to believe that the election was stolen. He writes, last summer, some protesters showed up at the homes of elected officials in Seattle, including that of Deborah Juarez, a solid progressive and the lone indigenous member of the Seattle City Council. She said she felt like they were there to terrorize her after she was taunted with bullhorn insults and menaced with flashing car headlights. Her crime? Ms. Juarez failed to back a goal to defund the police by 50%. The practical class, the political class, he writes, in the city, was largely quiet. He says, I've been working on a book about the Ku Klux Klan in the 1920s, a time when up to 5 million Americans belonged to the nation's oldest hate group. That was a mean decade, with Jim Crow locked in place, prohibition, the law of the land, and immigrants who weren't white Protestants all but locked out. A favorite tactic of the Klan, writes Tim Egan, in the 1920s, was night riding at people's homes to terrorize them. The underlying theme of all this meanness is intolerance. My own better angel, he writes, currently on hiatus, tells me that the majority of people today really aren't as awful as they appear on social media, which rewards hate at a high volume. But who or what rewards civility and nuance? He says there's an old saying attributed to the Sioux. A people without history is like wind on the buffalo grass. What may be worse are people without a heart, unable to see half their countrymen and countrywomen as anything but the enemy. There's another story in the same regard, which is really appalling. A headline, in Brooklyn, new statue of George Floyd is defaced with a symbol of a white supremacist group. Now, who knew? I didn't even know they were putting up statues of George Floyd. There's apparently one in Newark, there's one in Philadelphia, there's one in Brooklyn. The one in Brooklyn is supposed to be moved to Union Square in Manhattan. And all of these statues of George Floyd have been defaced. People have written white supremacy slogans on them, which is an awful thing. It's just a despicable thing. But can we make it clear that it's impossible to justify anyone defacing a statue of George Floyd, but it's also impossible to justify somebody coming out and defacing a statue of Thomas Jefferson or Abraham Lincoln or Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass's statue, where he's buried in Rochester, New York, which was his home for many years, that statue was knocked over. How do you do that? What is going on in this country? And again, they apparently, one of the defacings of the statue of George Floyd, which was the scene was at Flatbush Avenue near Brooklyn College. It was around 3:30 a.m. on Thursday of last week. And then the people who scribbled the Nazi slogans on them were left in a vehicle. Look, it's a sad moment for our country when that kind of expression is there. And it's why it seems to me that basically anything that we can look at, whether it's done by a governor or a mayor or the Congress of the United States, that actually can move us a little bit in the direction of sympathy and civility and some greater sense of community is worthwhile. And the instinct to deface statues of people that would be found admirable by many other Americans, that other half of Americans, if you want, who don't share necessarily your point of view, that should be universally condemned and shunned, it seems to me. Speaking of being condemned and shunned, we have a summer of pain awaiting Americans and our allies in Afghanistan. As U.S. troops leave Afghanistan, President Biden has few policy options. There's a distinguished commentator on foreign policy named David Ignatius who wrote a substantial piece for the Washington Post. We'll talk to him about that, about the latest authorization of strikes against Iranian-backed militias in Syria and elsewhere. And talk about the future of U.S. power and leadership abroad, remaining this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.